Now I'd like to welcome a wonderful writer and dear friend who has an open mic of her own at the Hopkinton cable station, and I know she's got something coming up, not this weekend, but the next weekend, and perhaps she can tell you about it. Please welcome Cheryl Perrault.
Thank you. Very good. Oh, that's great. Thank you, Ellen. That's February 21st in Hopkinton at HCAM TV Studios, featuring Tom Driscoll and his wife, Denise Driscoll, and Katie Frasinelli and her husband, Michael Frasinelli. The four of them, which will be a morning feature of visual art, of music and poetry and stories, and it will be a wonderful medley of the arts of these four talented people. So a little of everything, and I know Michael Frasinelli speaks of the pianista culture, which he designs with piano parts in his sculptures, and Denise does art installations, and we'll see some on screen, and we'll be hearing music and poetry. So please come and join, and ask me if you don't know about the details. Women are like tea bags. We don't know our true strength until we are in hot water. Eleanor Roosevelt said that. And this is a gift for Ellen tonight, a little birthday gift. It's a little tea tray for you, Ellen. And not talking about hot water, but about strength for Ellen and in being a strong person, but always being loving and compassionate as well. So a little tea bag tribute for you, I'll put right here. This poem is about another woman of strength. And it is about her going through some of her challenging times through life. But to me, more so, it is about endurance and strength and restoration and growth. And it's called Tea. I've been drinking cup after cup of this tea, waiting for the comfort to seep into my soul. She thinks to herself, a young woman of 18 years, ripe beauty plucked from her high school prom, now ripe with her first child, sitting in her newly married kitchen, yellowed linoleum curling up from the floor, refrigerator humming to the rhythm of her blues, occasional night creature strolling by she tries hard not to see. This is her refuge from her strange new life, and she's married now, and married and nauseous she goes to work, day-long job of changing bed sheets, bedpans, changing people from beds of the living to beds of the dead. Her young husband works hard too, mixing colors and chemicals that sometimes get to his head, making him come home and growl more than he means to. She'd like to growl too, but she can't. She just goes into the kitchen, pours herself a cup of tea, steeps in the comfort, and feels the baby start to move. And she's 30 now with three children who are healthy but draining her life juices dry. She feels 80. With most of her young time, young energy, young dreams spent, and the money gets spent. With the kids needing glasses and braces for legs and feet, never mind their teeth. The kids full of wild life, sometimes wild anger. And her husband comes home at the end of the day, man-child whose mind is stuck at the prom now, stuck with a family. And she has nothing left for him, always feeling beat, never able to sleep when the lights go dim. So she stumbles into the kitchen night after night, pours herself a cup of tea, feels a comfort pulling her inward, pulling her upward, making her ready to face the coming day. One summer later, they take a family trip, and she's been waiting for years, ready to have the days easier than this past hell where she comes from, with no postcards for sending. Packs the bags to the top of their old beaten Chevy, and they head for the splendor of mountains, fresh air, peace of mind. The mountains are high, and so are their hopes, and before you know it, the vacation is over, and they're headed home. Car full of dogs, the dog panting and whining, her husband barking and growling, her kids fighting and whimpering. And when they reach the yard, happy to bark and growl on familiar terrain, a neighbor meets him at the door, breaks the news. Her brother at 20 years had drowned, leaving his two young boys, his wife, his only sister. She falls limp, weeping into her husband's arms. He holds her stiff and tells her, shh. She sees the attempt to comfort, yet feels none there. So she staggers into the kitchen late at night, gets herself a cup of tea, slowly feels the warming of her cup self-healing as it travels from trembling fingertips to her aching heart. 10 years later, the kids have moved out, the husband has moved on, the divorce is final, the war is over, but there is no victory. She continues working, feeling foreheads tapping bloodlines, cleaning bedpans, life seeming one empty nest day after another. Until one day she meets a man. He doesn't sweet talk her. He doesn't dote on her aged beauty. He is not terribly handsome, but his face is caring, his smile is warm. And they see each other every day after work, dog tired, putting their feet up to watch TV, curling into each other's sides on the old couch. He listens to her talk and to her silence and even helps her with the hard times. Like when she has to bury both of her parents, one taken by cancer, one by failing heart. And when her heart gives to sadness, he's there to catch her as she goes down. And late at night, she tiptoes to the kitchen, feels the familiar pain of life, puts on the kettle. Only this time, he's right behind her, pulling up a chair, pouring them both a cup of tea. They sip in silence. She feels the comfort start to come. They get married, enjoying the quiet happiness of 12 good years, until he joins a cancer roster with no hope for a cure. He wants to die at home, she wants to nurse him, and so they struggle to face death within the confines of his room. He lying there, over-medicated in the familiar, hardly able to speak, no longer able to move. She curling up beside him, seldom sleeping, always hoping to make the morn. Wondering if it's the last time she'll hear his sighs of sleep. Last time she'll fit into his folds, last time she'll feel him warm. And then one morning he's gone. Relief and horror flutter at the same time. She tries to calm, not knowing what the hell to do. And then all at once, something steers her across the kitchen floor, sits her down, has her sipping at the bottomless cup. And she listens, waits for a direction, back in the kitchen again. It feels like yesterday. Feeling the fresh pain of life's recent trials, the dull ache of life's old reminders, tasting the familiar pattern of her self-comfort, while drinking and thinking to herself, once again, I have been drinking cup after cup of this tea. Thank you.
That is an amazing piece, and I think it's the first one I ever heard Cheryl do. I believe so. It must have been one of your earlier pieces. One more hand for Cheryl.